Hello, everybody. Ready to go for the next one? Use the mic. You can't really hear it. Oh. I'll hold it like this. Is that better? Cool. Alrighty. Arduino memory architecture. One of the things you have to get your head around with when dealing with very small machines is that you don't have much space to play with. And I can't change slides. That's interesting. Yeah, it's not my machine, so I don't know where anything is. Hello? Okay. Nope, that still didn't like it. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Andy is going to drive my slides for me since I'm incapable of controlling this myself. I haven't. Yeah, that wasn't so pretty. Can we open it in OpenOffice instead? That won't take long. Okay, we'll try it from the second page. Still doesn't want to go to the next page. Unfortunately, I did the classic thing and left the display adapter for my laptop at home, so I can't use my own laptop. It's a Dell Latitude, but it's got a DisplayPort adapter, not a mini DisplayPort, and I can't find anyone with a DisplayPort connector. You do? Seriously, is it a proper DisplayPort, not mini DisplayPort? Oh well, thanks. Okay, so we're switching to OpenOffice instead. So, when you're dealing with the CPUs that you find in a typical Arduino, they have far less memory than you may be used to dealing with. So they have static RAM, EEPROM and flash, which we'll get to in just a second. But just to illustrate the sort of issues that you're faced with, this represents the memory space of a gigabyte of memory. So this is what you'd have on a low-end desktop type machine. What I'm going to do is overlay this with the memory map of an ATmega 328. So I've just done that. And if you can't see it, it's a pixel. It's right there. So you're really working within a very constrained system. And it doesn't use quite the same architecture as you may be used to. It uses what's called a modified Harvard architecture. Now, one of the other popular CPU architectures is called the von Neumann architecture, which basically has a continuous memory space. So memory addresses start at zero, work up, and both the program itself, which is the instructions, and the data are stored within the same address space. With a Harvard architecture, it does things differently. It stores the instructions and the program data in two totally separate chunks of memory. In the case of a microcontroller, that's really handy because what you can do is make the program data non-volatile, which obviously we want so that you can plug in power and have it simply start from whatever it was you last loaded in there. And it allows it to address these two chunks of memory separately, so they have totally different memory address ranges. The way a standard Harvard architecture works, the instructions are loaded out of non-volatile memory, and data is loaded out of volatile memory. The reason that the ATmega is called a modified Harvard architecture rather than the standard Harvard architecture is it has the capability of reading in to its registers the actual program instruction memory as well. Now this opens up some interesting things when it comes to saving memory. Now when you've been playing with an Arduino, you'll probably see, if you're using long strings, you want to put strings out to an LCD or something like that. If you're really tight on RAM, you'll probably see a lot of people say, stick it in program memory, and you'll see a progmem keyword. This is the reason for it. What happens is that the content gets written into the program memory and simply stored there statically, and then you can read it into registers and treat it as if it's data, which is pretty cool. The other thing is that in an ATmega, it's got an EEPROM, which is for, once again, it's non-volatile. It has a fairly limited life write cycle, though you can only write to it about 100,000 times according to the data sheets. So typically what you would do is use the flash to store the program, SRAM, which is just to maintain your runtime variables and things like that, and EEPROM you can use to write non-volatile memory like settings and other things you might want to store so that it comes back next time you reset. So the interesting bit in terms of running out of space on one of these machines is typically the RAM. That's usually where you hit limits first. So let's just take a look at that. The SRAM in ATmega is divided into a couple of different sections. There is a static allocation section which starts at the bottom of memory, and there is a dynamic allocation section. The static allocation is done at compile time. So if you generate the file that's going to be pushed across, like the hex file that's going to be pushed across to an Arduino, you know exactly how much space is going to be taken up by the static allocation. The dynamic allocation is done at runtime, so you don't necessarily know what's going to go on there. And that's where a lot of people run into problems. So let's just take a look at what it does. Well, the different areas that are used in here, the heap is used for allocating a variable space. The stack is used for pushing variables locally aside so that you can work on other things. So if you have a function that is pushed aside to call another function, all the variables and various other things are shoved onto the stack. So what happens is that if you end up with a situation where you are calling something recursively, you can have the stack continue to grow down. Now in terms of addresses, one thing that you'll notice if you look at the data sheets is that the memory doesn't actually start at zero, which you might expect. And the reason for that is that inside the architecture of the CPU, they kind of cheated a little bit, but it's a fairly clever design. And the actual working registers in the CPU, typically there are 32, depending on the model of the ATmega, 32 working registers and 64 memory mapped I/O registers. And so those are used at the bottom end of the address space, and then there's the RAM that sits above it. In order to find out what you have used, there are a number of variables that you can access within your sketch. So by accessing these variables, we can figure out what the difference is. Basically, we can figure out the free memory between the stack pointer, which is going to be moving down as you use more memory, and the break valve, which is going to be moving up as the heap is used. And so with a little function like this in a sketch, it's actually quite easy to find out how much free memory you have. We won't go through this in great detail now. All of this is online, you can grab it. But basically the idea is that by calling these external variables, which are set in the environment, you can figure out the difference and how much free memory you have left and then report it back. So I was curious to see how this actually worked in practice. And so I was mucking around with a bit of processing, which I haven't done much with. I've only done a couple of things in it. And I wanted to take the information coming from the Arduino and actually visualize it so I could see in real time or close to real time what was going on in the Arduino. So what I've done is written a little processing sketch which takes data being sent to it from the serial port and displays it. And I've got a program running on the Arduino which sends values out in a space-delimited format. And what you can do is put a call to the reporting function wherever you like in your code, spits the values out, and then you simply display it. So let's give it a try. I'll just show you what's on the Arduino at the moment. So this particular program, it's a little bit longer than that function I was showing earlier, but it just sets up a whole bunch of variables. And there's a check memory function here, which we won't go into in detail, which does things like find the position of the stack pointer. Setup basically does nothing except open the serial port for reporting back values. And it just loops around do stuff, which is called recursively and just uses up some memory, doesn't do anything very much. It recurses to a depth of 50 and then sets a flag saying it's hit the end, and then it starts backing itself out again. And there's a little delay in there of 100 so that we can actually see what's going on, 100 milliseconds. And this program is running on this Arduino right now and plugged into the serial port. So what we can do is run the visualizer. And unfortunately, it seems to have some buffering problems at the moment, but you get the general idea. So what we can see there is the static allocation down the bottom. We can see a very small heap. There's only a little bit allocated to it. It's using a whole 6 bytes. And you can see that as it recurses down, more and more memory is used up as variables are pushed onto the stack, which then starts moving down. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, it depends obviously on what you're doing within each function. But just for the hell of it, who wants to see the stack smash the heap? Okay, so, oops, that's not where that is on it to work, people. So we'll push this across to the Arduino. We'll remove its little don't self-destruct flag. And let's run this again. I was actually quite interested to see what happened with this, because I didn't put any bounds checking in the visualization program. It just blindly takes whatever values are sent to it and then tries to scale the polygons appropriately. So, yeah, this is the point at which you start getting a little bit worried. The really interesting thing is that the Arduino manages to keep going for quite a remarkably long time, and you'll see it overrun at the bottom here. And also keep an eye on the runtime here. See, at this point, it's actually overrun the memory. And about here, it goes boom. So it can't continue. But I've had a few programs I've worked on that I've run into problems because I'm trying to store strings for reporting and things like that. And I've always felt like I was a bit working in the dark with an Arduino. You create a program and you don't know if you run out of memory. You might start doing weird things because it's overriding, and there's no memory protection, obviously, so you keep shoving stuff on the stack, it's just going to keep growing. And so I found this really handy way of visualizing what's going on. Sorry, what was that? The question was, there were 73 free bytes when it crashed. Can I account for the discrepancy? No, I can't. Justin? Yeah, I expect that comms died at some point and you couldn't report anymore. Yeah. What I would like to do, I haven't actually done it yet because I was just doing this prior to the talk, was take the memory check code and make it something like a very, very simple little library, so that all you have to do is do an include, you know, mem check and make one call to the function. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And he's just mentioning that there's another project I did a little while ago where I implemented a hardware watchdog that forced a machine to reset, applied a hardware reset. This was for a device based on an Arduino that was being deployed in Sydney, and I'm based in Melbourne. And it had some issues with comms glitching from now and then. So we wrote a little watchdog timer that if it didn't get comms within a certain period of time, it just hit the reset button and the Arduino started all over again. So, we need to cut this fairly short in order to give Marcus time to come up and do a talk. So, we'll do a very quick speaker switch now. Thank you. just while Marcus is getting set up, we'll just mention that someone that came along to the assembly session this morning brought the same cutters as we did, and we managed to collect them with everybody else's. So if your cutters mysteriously disappeared, please come see us afterwards.
Hey guys, I'm Marcus. I work for a little company called Little Bird Electronics. We sell Arduinos. You can't hear me. Okay. My name's Marcus, and I own Little Bird Electronics. So I am kind of Arduino biased. We love to sell Arduinos, and we love to play with them. But one of the things that we found really hard when we're holding workshops is getting all the libraries installed. And I noticed for all the real languages like Perl, PHP, Ruby, better say Python, I hope, there is some sort of package or library manager built in. And that's something that we don't really have for Arduino right now. Well, till now. So over a few days, I wrote an Arduino library manager. I called it Electropus, and it's very simple. The commands are dead simple. Pus install Ethernet DHCP installs the library. Pus list lists the libraries you have installed. And pus sources shows all your sources, so you can, just like Ruby Gems, subscribe to a different source to get your Arduino libraries. And of course, it's all open source. And tonight you can get the code from this URL here. So I'll give you a brief demo and show you just how easy it is. So this is my dirty Mac OS X terminal. And it's simple as pus install DHCP. Oops, library isn't found. I don't have a There's no such library called DHCP. It's actually called Ethernet DHCP. And I actually have to do that as sudo. And then if we go over to my libraries folder, we will see that libraries all in there. And if we go and open up Arduino, wait for it. You'll see that the library is in there, in our examples folder. And so, where does the name Electropus come from? Well, we actually have another site called chiphacker.com, and Chiphacker is a collaborative question and answer site identical to Stack Overflow. And so if you're doing any electronics hacking or need to ask an electronics or physical computing question, it's a great place to go and get answers. So that's www.chiphacker.com. Okay, free shit. Because you're also great and coming here, we've got a whole heap of Arduino badges to give out for free, so just see me if you want to get one. And of course we have our little bird electronics stickers. That's it, guys. Oh, one last thing. We bought a full page ad. Well, sorry. Let me start again. 2010 is really our year of what can we give back to the community. So we decided that we were going to build a cheat sheet and put it on an entire back page of Silicon Chip magazine. So if you go out to your newsagent, go and buy Silicon Chip so you can rip this back cover off and stick it on the wall. Any questions? Sorry? February. Too quickly. So github.com/ShafiM, which is my last name, concatenated with my first initial, /electropus. Puss bad programmer. I'm just a simple web designer, so anybody who wants to collaborate and help with this project would be much appreciated. It is written in Ruby. Who writes Ruby? Okay. Who wants to rewrite in Perl? Okay. Python? Okay, so it's going to be rewritten in Python. Cool.
Is there a
no. I'm a simple web programmer. Is Linux stuff that confuses me? Cool. Thanks, guys.
Excellent. Well, that's pretty much the end of the program, except for a couple of little things. How many people here came along this morning having never touched a soldering iron in their lives and did some assembly? Okay, we've got one right here. MindKits has... Oh, sorry. Yeah, Hadley has been... Hadley Rich has been nice enough to donate some hardware for us. We've got two Arduinos and a pair of XP modules to give away. So there's a free Arduino. This is from mindkits.co.nz. It's not?
Nice gear.
Oh, nice. Okay, sorry, I'm looking at the wrong thing. And an Arduino. Sorry, it's been an insane day. Was anybody else who came here this morning for the first time did some assembly? Yes, okay. You can have a pair of... Yeah, no lying. XP modules. Okay. Well, oh yeah. I don't know on what basis to be picking people though. This is the problem. Throw it in the air. Okay. Someone's being very enthusiastic down the back. Seriously, who wants it? I don't know, I haven't even opened the box. What we've got is... Oh, it's a red box. It's an empty red box. No, inside I see an Arduino, an Ethernet shield, a mini breadboard, some funky other little bits that you can use on the breadboard. So, who started what? Who's giving me the best feedback? Okay, that's right. Who else has been injured today in this mini-conf? Ah, yes, Clinton, you're injured. Okay, I think you deserve this. Now, do we have any more hardware to give away? Oh, no, not give away, but if anybody were, if anybody would like to buy one of these soldering irons or cutters, come up here. Mitch is modeling it and is happy to take your money. Grant. Okay. If anybody's interested, Grant has a little trick which allows him to reflash the bootloader on the CPU on a Demelanova using nothing but the Demelanova itself. No external programmer required. If anyone's interested in seeing that, come and see this gentleman right here. Wow. Clinton very generously has said he has enough Arduinos. You can never have too many of these. So he's giving up the Arduino itself for someone else. Ah, Mike is... No. Who else was it down there that stuck their hand up? I saw it. Yeah. No. All of you guys have gotten them already. Vic wants one. He's got them. Down the back. Okay. Here's an Arduino. Oh, hang on. Here we go. That's pretty bright. Who's got a yellow? You broke one today. Okay, in that case, you need a replacement. That's a good enough reason. Okay, I think that's it. Thank you very much.